Here it is. The rabbit listened. One day, Taylor decided to build something. Something new. Something special. Something amazing. Taylor was so proud. But then, out of nowhere, things came crashing down. I love Taylor's little face. It's just sad. Things came crashing down. The chicken was the first to notice. Cluck, cluck, what a shame. I'm so sorry this happened. Let's talk about it. Cluck, cluck. But Taylor didn't feel like talking. So the chicken left. Next came the bear. Grr, roar, how horrible. I bet you're so angry. Let's shout about it. Grr, roar. But Taylor didn't feel like shouting. So the bear left. The elephant knew just what to do. Trumpta, I can fix this. We just need to remember exactly the way things were. But Taylor didn't feel like remembering. So the elephant also left. One by one they came. The hyena, hee-hee, let's laugh about it. The ostrich, gulp. Let's hide and pretend nothing happened. The kangaroo, tisk, tisk, what a mess. Throw it all away. And the snake, let's go knock down somebody else. But Taylor didn't feel like doing anything with anybody. So eventually they all left. Until Taylor was alone. In the quiet, Taylor didn't even notice the rabbit. But it moved closer and closer until Taylor could feel its warm body. Together they sat in silence until Taylor said, "Please stay with me." The rabbit listened. The rabbit listened as Taylor talked. The rabbit listened as Taylor shouted. The rabbit listened as Taylor remembered and laughed. The rabbit listened to Taylor's plans to hide, to throw everything away, to ruin things for someone else. Through it all, the rabbit never left. And when the time was right, the rabbit listened to Taylor's plan to build again. "I can't wait," Taylor said. "It's going to be amazing." Y'all, isn't that the best book? I mean, I love this book. And the reason I love it is because this is the way I want to be the rabbit, right? The world is coming in all the time, and they've got all these ideas. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. I want to be a blessing to you tonight. I want to give you the skill of just being a rabbit. Just being the rabbit. Being the rabbit that listens. Because there's a rule of thumb I wish I had realized when my kids were young. I didn't know. I had 3 boys. And I wish I had known this rule. See if you can get it in your head. Oh, I meant to tell you, there's handouts over here, y'all. Bugger. I forgot. Okay, now, yeah, pass them around. Yes, thanks, Kurt. Here's what I wish I'd known. And this way you can write things down if you want to. I wish I had known this. Focus on the donut, not on the donut hole. Kind of brilliant, right? But how often do we as parents focus on the hole, right? The what is missing, what we fear. We're often in interrogate mode, or correcting mode, or disciplining mode, or training mode. And all of those are really, really valuable. But I think you heard Nate say, and now you're hearing Barb say, but what is the bigger component that you want to begin to really do with your child, and it is to get to know your child, to understand the donut. So I'm going to give you examples. I went to each of my boys as adults. So my oldest, y'all, this is hard to believe, but my oldest is like 48. Can't believe it. And then the next one, mid-40s. And then my last one is turning 40 in a couple weeks. And I asked him, I said, okay, guys, what did I miss? Gave him the whole illustration of the donut, and then I missed the whole. And they were all kind, and they said, oh, Mom, you didn't miss a thing. You were wonderful. And I said, no. I know I missed something. And finally, my oldest one said, well, here's what you missed. You missed the fact because my oldest son had undiagnosed ADD, which just wasn't done back then. I didn't even hardly know about ADD. I hadn't gotten a counseling degree yet. And so he said, you know, Mom, you missed something. I was so anxious about school, but you were so fearful that I wasn't going to get it done that you missed my anxiety. And I did. Middle one said, well, because you were so worried about the oldest one, making sure he got everything done right, I thought I had to be perfect. And so I have functioned out of feeling like I had to be perfect all the time, and you missed that. And then the youngest one said, well, because you were so fearful of the other two boys, which they were kind of high energy. I would love to tell you they were really compliant kids, but they weren't. So no shame in that. I am not going to stand over here judging. But he said, you know what? You were so afraid of what was going on with the two older ones that you interrogated me all the time. Are you doing this? Are you making sure you do this? On and on. But I missed that. Like, I never knew that when they were growing up. I didn't know that donut part. I was functioning so much out of what was missing or what I was afraid of or futurizing. So I would love for us during this time to understand, just build that relationship with your child. Because often when a child feels understood, when their emotions are understood, sometimes, not always, but sometimes the need to act out at least is diminished. Because we're all built with a hunger to be known, to be loved, to be valued. I have some scriptures here. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Psalm 32:10, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Matthew 22:36-40, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so we have that ongoing nature that God has given us. We want to be loved. We want to be seen. We want to be understood. I want you to notice when I read about little Taylor, what stands out is all the other creatures were coming trying to fix it, but nobody was knowing him. Nobody knew Taylor. So, and what do we know in the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, the gospel says we can't keep the law. We need a savior. And we obey because of our great love for him. So the reality is, y'all, all the messes that we accumulate in our lives daily and in our lives all the time, he comes alongside with great understanding. And thankfully, he often cleans them up for us. He allows us to be broken. He allows us to be sick. He allows us to be hungry. And he gives us healing and he fills us. So I just want you to see, how do we get to know our kids and let them come to us just kind of the way they are? in their dirtiness, in their raggedness, and be seen and be loved by Jesus. And we want them to see that from us as a model. I want you to think about people that you enjoy being with, right? Take a minute. I want you to think about the people you enjoy being with. Is it the person who it feels like when you're with them, they are in the traffic in Atlanta and they are honking the horn and the exhaust is all over and they're constantly on a mission to get somewhere and accomplish something, always, at all times? Is that the person you like to be with, hang out with? Or is it the person who, when you're with them, you kind of feel like you're sitting in this wonderful... Hal and I one time went to Canada, and we did this little hike, and we found this beautiful little valley. Like, it was gorgeous, with this little stream going through it. And the birds, this sounds like Snow White, but seriously, it did happen. The birds came and ate out of our hands, right? I mean, it was kind of ideal place. It was crazy. But it was so peaceful. I never wanted to leave. It was the place I was like, oh, this is the best. Don't you want that for your kids? Like an oasis? Some kind of an oasis for them. I remember hanging out with my dad. Because I think I want you to be thinking about, hey, what do I want my children to remember about me 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? What do you want them to remember? The mission, you know, the mission. Like Nate was saying, you know, get that ACT done and get it done well. You represent us. Nothing wrong with getting a good job on the ACT. But if it inhibits the relationship, you got to look at that. But anyway, what do you want your kids to look at and think about 20 years from now? I think about my dad. And my dad and I were really, really close. In fact, starting at third grade, he and I would sit together and have a cup of coffee. I don't know if I'm supposed to drink coffee in third grade, but I was drinking coffee in third grade. And my dad and I would we just talked. We talked about nothing. We talked about important things. We talked about theology. I mean, I was just amazing. I had such a wonderful relationship with him. And there's something he said to me one time, and it sticks in my head. He said, you know, Barbie, well, he actually called me Babs. Hey, Babs. So my name was Barbara Ann Boss. So Barbara Ann Boss with an S, Babs. He said, and y'all, I'm going to be 70 this year, and I still remember this. He said, Babs, you know what I really love about you? I love that when you do something, you want to drink it up. Like, you just love it and put your whole self into it. I really love that about you. Y'all, I still remember that. That's what I want you to be able to give your kids. Do they feel seen? Do they feel known? So how do we do this? How do we begin to increase doing this? I'm going to read you a story of a little boy named Ralph. You can't tell I like stories. 6-year-old Ralph. This is from Bill Richardson's book called Train Up a Child. I don't know if you know Bill Richardson, Dr. Bill Richardson. He's at Reform Seminary. Okay, he wrote a book on parenting. 6-year-old Ralph was a winsome, brown-haired little fellow, a climber of trees, a builder of forts, blessed with a vivid imagination. He entertained himself for hours as a cowboy, a superhero, an army man. What he liked most, however, was playing with his big brother and friends. Unfortunately, they wanted nothing to do with Ralph. He couldn't understand their jokes or play their games. Who wanted to dress up and pretend to be somebody else anyway? One afternoon, Ralph heard his brother and some neighborhood children at the side of the house. Excitedly, he ran to join the fun. Rounding the corner, he came upon a group, some sitting on the fence, others standing, all of them towering over him. Suddenly, to his horror, the entire crowd began laughing uproariously and pointing at him. Confused, Ralph glanced around wildly, wondering what's wrong. Why are they laughing at me? After what seemed an eternity, one of the boys screamed, "His zipper's down!" And everybody dissolved into laughter again, utterly crushed. Ralph exploded into tears. Wheeling around, he jerked up the zipper, raced into the isolation of his own backyard, and there he ran pell-mell into somebody big, his dad. Knowing exactly what had happened, Ralph's father held him close until the sobs calmed. With tears in his own eyes, he looked at Ralph and said, "I know you're hurt, but I also know you are wonderful. I love your eyes, your ears, the feel of your hair, the sound of your voice. I love the way that God made you. He did a great job. He is so delighted with you, and so am I. Remember that." And Ralph did. 22 years later, he sat in my office and vividly remembered how the severe pain of rejection was dramatically lessened by his father's soothing words of acceptance. He wasn't corrected. His dad didn't say, "Well, what in the world? I mean, you shouldn't hang out with those guys anyway." He didn't say, "Well, did you check your zipper before you went out? I mean, come on, buddy." That's not what Ralph needed, right? What Ralph needed was to be known, was to be given the opportunity to feel his dad's pleasure. So, do y'all remember a time growing up where you felt ridiculed? I do. Or told you didn't belong? And you still probably remember some of the pain of that. But then look back and see, but did I also feel a time when I was really accepted? I was really treasured. I felt really valued, like Ralph did. So I'm going to give you a minute. Each of you should have the sheet, character qualities. I think that's what it's called. Positive character qualities. You know what I want you to do? I want you to take a couple minutes, and I want to think about your children or child. And I would like for you, if you have a pen, if you don't, just think about it, to circle just a couple things that you would like to go home tonight or tomorrow morning and honestly tell your child, "I want you to know how much I value this about you." If your little one is too little, like 5 months old, then think of, how do we do this with each other? How do we do this as a couple? Would you do that just for a minute? There's a fun statement Bill Richardson used to say often, and you probably have heard it. Catch your child doing good. Just catch them doing good and tell them. Okay. Got it? Got a few words? Now I'm going to kind of switch gears really quick, and I'm going to talk to you about really fast four different parenting styles. And I want you to just hear me, because I want you to understand we all fall into one of these four styles, right? And I want you to hear, if you're really going to get to know your child, I'm going to get to the last one, and that's the best one. But I'm going to start with just some other ones. Okay. The dismissing style of parenting. You know, like, those really aren't, come on, don't feel what you feel. Here's an example. Parent says, "You don't need to be sad. It's not that bad. Put a smile on your face. There's no reason for you to be unhappy right now." Y'all, I remember one time years and years and years ago, like way, way back when I was at Reform Seminary, I had some parents come to me, and they had a little girl, 3 years old, and they had a new baby. And the new baby was really colicky, like colicky. And this little three-year-old was just acting out all over the place. Like, she was potty trained, but she would stand in front of the potty and potty in front of the potty, not on the potty. Okay, so that's an issue, right? Or she would do the same thing on her bed. She would get on the bed and use the bathroom. Or she knew, don't run across the street without your mom and dad. She would run across the street without her mom and dad. So they were like, what is going on with her? And I said, well, so what do you do when she's distressed? And the dad, so I love this dad. He said, well, I put my hand on her face and I tell her to put a smile on her face. And then I tell her, I'm going to wait here until you can put a smile on your face, and we're not going to move until you put a smile on your face. Okay. What was going on with this little girl? She was distressed. She was sick and tired of her baby, brother or sister, screaming their head off, and she was totally ignored. Telling that little girl to put a smile on her face was basically saying, dismiss your emotions, they're not acceptable. Right? You with me? So when that happens, a child often feels ignored or disregarded when they have these really strong feelings. And they learn to believe, well, maybe my sadness or my anger are bad and I need to fix it. Like, I need to make it go away. So, like, here's an example. If a child says, it makes me so sad that I can't go to grandma's, a dismissive parent might say something like, don't be sad. Come on, you're going to see her in a couple of weeks. Let's go out. Just go out. Find something to do. Go out and play. So what's happening with that child's emotions? Well, they're not being heard or understood. Wouldn't it be okay to be able to say, I bet you are sad that you can't go to grandma's. You want to tell me a little bit about that? I bet it is hard because you were really looking forward to that. But when a child's emotions are dismissed, they wonder, well, wait, can I trust my emotions? I mean, what do I do with my emotions? Like, what if I do feel sad? I don't know what to do when I feel sad. Okay, number two, disapproving style, another style of parenting. A parent says, stop feeling that way. You have no reason to be sad. Nobody wants a whiner around. If you keep that up, you're going to be in trouble. When that happens, a child feels like something's wrong with him if he gets upset or sad because he's criticized or punished for showing emotion, like sadness. Y'all, I have so many stories of people that I have met with through the years who basically were told, your emotions of sadness or anger or frustration are not welcome in this family. Buck up. We don't have the space. All you got to do is keep peace. Just go to your room, get all your emotion out. We can't deal with this right now. So what happens when that happens is kids have more difficulty trusting their own judgment. And they grow up thinking, well, like, if I do feel this way, what do I do with this? I remember my poor parents, they're with Jesus now, so that's good. But one of the things I remember going to my mom with is I said, hey, Mom, like, sometimes I feel really sad. Like, I wonder sometimes if I'm depressed. And my sweet mama, she would look at me and say, Barbie, Christians don't get depressed. Christians don't feel that way. And so then I remember thinking, well, whoa. I mean, well, I don't know what to do. It's probably why I'm a therapist now. I'm probably like, I want to let people feel what they feel. Kids have then a hard time learning to regulate their emotions. Like, how do I solve problems? You know, if I shouldn't feel this way. The next one is, Oh, I'm going fast. The laissez-faire style, which is, that's it. You just let all your feelings out. Do whatever you need to do. It doesn't bother me. Whatever you feel like doing is okay. Yo, that's not good either. Because they express their feelings and their emotions, but there's no limits on the behavior and no guidance. So the child learns their emotion is okay, but they don't know what to do with them. Like, what do I do with this? That anything goes? Now, that's not good either. Now we're getting to the good one. You ready? Emotional coaching. I'm going to give you, what is it called? An acrostic? A-C-T. Isn't that what it's called? With something behind? Anyway, A-C-T. The emotion coaching style is this. Acknowledge your child's emotions. Acknowledge the emotion. Communicate the limit. That's the C. And then target an alternative. Isn't that great? A-C-T. You want me to say it again? Acknowledge the emotion. Communicate the limit. Target an alternative. So, here's how this would look. A parent would say to a child, tell me how you feel. I felt that way too. Now, you can't hit somebody when you're angry, but let's think about other things you can do when you feel this emotion. Child feels valued, comforted. Those emotions are accepted, but they learn there's limits to what you can do with this. She's got empathy. She feels comfortable expressing emotion to her parent, and she learns somehow what to do with them. Here's an example. Okay. Michael, 5 years old. You could put a 15-year-old here too, but I'm just using 5-year-old. Michael's 5 years old. He is furious because his younger sister tore his favorite book. Wouldn't you be mad? I would be mad. As Michael stomps into the room crying, his father's faced with a difficult task of dealing with his son's raw emotional state. Michael's father is able to coach, emotionally coach. So his approach is empathizing with his son's feelings, sharing them, talking about them. He knows how to teach his child what to do with it. So it may look like this. I hate Carrie. She tore my book. More crying. Dad, come here, Michael. Daddy, she ruined my book. I can see you're upset. You seem angry at your sister. And now she's crying. Yeah, I know. I yelled at her. Dad, Michael, I know you're angry, and I would be too if she ripped the page in my book. Do you think it might have been an accident? Yeah, maybe. Well, I remember one time my sister did something like that to me. I was so mad. I wanted to get back at her for what she did. Yeah, maybe I could put her pony in the toilet. Well, I don't think putting your pony in the toilet is the best way to go. We need a better solution. Can you think of something else to do? Yeah, Dad, maybe we can fix the book. Right? The dad is just coming alongside. So what's happening is building a relationship with your child. The dad is aware of his child's emotions. He's connecting with the child's emotions, not dismissing them, not telling him he can't have them. He's listening with empathy. Think about the rabbit. He's helping his child name those emotions. Think about little Taylor. He's like screaming and yelling and getting all of his emotions out. And then the limits are set and solutions are able to be found. So, tune into your child's emotions. It's so good when you can do this. Like, I've given you a cheat sheet. I've given you a glossary of emotions. So recognize your child's emotions. What did you hear me say about my oldest child? He was anxious. You know what? The sad thing is I didn't know that. I wasn't zoomed in on that. I was zoomed in on you're not getting your work done and you're scaring me and I'm afraid you're going to fail in life and you're going to be living in my home for the rest of, you know, I mean, I can't even tell you the crazy fears that I had. But if I just had known this kid is anxious, and I could have looked at the world through his point of view and honestly come alongside, I think our relationship when he was young could have been very different, right? So what do we do? Well, pay close attention to your child's emotions. Don't dismiss them. Don't avoid them. See them as moments when you can draw really close to your child. Try and share the feeling. Encourage your children to talk about what is it going on internally. Share your emotions with them and let them know their feelings are okay, but give them guidance in figuring out, what do I do? How do we sort these out? That makes sense? So I want you to think about the story of Ralph. What did Ralph's dad do? He was there. He let Ralph share his emotions. And he didn't dismiss them. And he didn't say they were silly. And he didn't say that they weren't important. But he listened in a way that was helpful. And he found a way to come alongside and just give Ralph all that affirmation that little Ralph needed. So how do we do this? Well, be patient. Really try your best to use those small successes when you see them to build your child's confidence. Be aware of your child's needs, physical and emotional. Identify what they enjoy and what they don't enjoy. That's how you build relationship with your kids. Isn't that what we want? So when I'm going to end with this, but when I read the book, The Rabbit Listen, I think about my Savior. I just can't help but think about my Savior. And I think in many ways, not that I want to make Jesus the rabbit, but in many ways, that's what I do with the Lord. Like, when my world, all of you in this room, when your world comes crashing down, and there's nobody in here whose world does not come crashing down, I need my Savior. I need to know he's like the rabbit that listened. And I want you to model that for your kids so they know when their world comes crashing down, and it will, that they have a Savior that wants to listen. So, let me pray for you, and you can launch. Lord Jesus, I am so thankful for this time with all these people in this room who love you. And I am so thankful that you really are the one who listens, the one who cares, the one who we can bring all of our confusion, all of our emotions, stomp, yell, scream. And you love us and you hear us. And the main thing you want is for us to know how much you love us. How delightful relationship with you is. In Jesus' name, amen.